Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and this week I'm just going to discuss some very basic cooking mistakes that a lot of novice cooks make. I've alluded to some of these while I've been preparing other dishes in previous episodes, but I thought it would be handy if we went through them all together, all at once, and then if you fix even a couple of these things, you will be so much farther ahead of the game. Incidentally, all of this info is in a new cookbook that I've written with Tamara Reynolds. The book is called Forking Fantastic, Put the Party Back in Dinner Party, and it's out on store shelves on October 6th. And as you can guess from the title, it's about festive cooking and parties, which is a pretty different thing from what we do here at Cooking in Real Time. But there is a substantial front section in the book which is devoted to setting up your kitchen, getting organized, all those other little essentials for novice cooks. So you can definitely handle a good part of this book, even if you're a very new cook. So here we go. Novice mistake number one, cooking on heat that is too low. I think people don't turn on the burner as high as they should because they're a little afraid of burning things. Don't fear the flame. If it looks like it's getting out of control, you can always turn it off. When I worked at Prune, this restaurant here in New York, it was often my job to make the potatoes roasty for brunch, and potatoes roasty are basically big pan-sized round hash browns, and I'd have to get all six burners on the stove going at once and set out six nonstick skillets and get the potatoes going in all different stages. And the chef, Gabrielle Hamilton, saw me hesitating once and just about to get really overwhelmed, and she said, "Are you afraid of the flame? Get over it." And more important, she said, if it's out of control, just turn it off, which is the most simple and brilliant advice. And I never forgot that. I think of it often if, you know, I'm not ready with the stuff I'm chopping up to put in the pan that's preheating, just turn it off. It's not a huge loss. So the next novice mistake, number two, is not cooking things long enough, sort of a parallel to keeping things on too low heat. It takes a surprising amount of time for instance, a piece of meat to brown properly, but you really don't have to worry. Even if it's just sitting there, it probably won't burn. This is especially true in home kitchens, unless you happen to have one of those new super fancy stoves. If you're watching food TV, browning seems to magically happen in the blink of an eye. This either has to do with some quickie editing, because it's pretty boring to watch, or the super powerful flame they're cooking on in the studio kitchen. But with you and me at home on our standard totally ho-hum teeny BTU burners and our plain old standard cookware from the thrift store, it's gonna take some time. So remember to work that time into your estimations when you're looking at the recipe and figuring out how long it's gonna cook. Recipes usually say, brown the meat, then remove it to a separate plate. And this makes it sound like it takes like 30 seconds to brown the meat. No, it can actually take a good 10 minutes or so, and double that if you're making something big and you have to brown the things in two batches. So if you're reading a recipe and it says brown your meat, just try to think about what other kitchen tasks you might be doing while that's happening. And it's kind of a bonus that, as I talked about in one of the recipe decoder episodes a while back, to get something nice and properly brown, you really shouldn't stir it very much. So it may take a while, but at least your hands are free for other work. Novice cooking mistake number three is cutting things into teeny tiny pieces. This is not only a total time suck and a real pain in the ass, frankly, but it is usually not all that pleasant to eat either. Stuff cut in big chunks is actually much easier to cut and much more interesting to eat. The tiny, tiny fine dice, it turns to a pulp, it's not that textural. Mincing stuff basically is a waste of time. In restaurants, they do it because tiny dice things look cute, and also a lot of things are cooked to order, and stuff that's cooked in small pieces cooks very quickly and very evenly. But at home, you're not cooking things to order, and in fact, you're not standing over something in a pan, usually, and cooking it till it's finished. You want to put something on to cook and leave it and turn away and do something else. So at home, it's actually an advantage to have things in bigger pieces where they take a little bit longer to cook sometimes. And also, it doesn't have to look so pretty at home. So chop it up roughly, you're done. Novice cooking blunder number four is using the wrong knife for the job. People are often afraid of large knives, and then they wind up really struggling with smaller ones. And another thing I got chided at Prune for was once I was trying to slice bread with the totally wrong knife. I don't know what I was thinking. I was sort of a panic moment and I couldn't see the bread knife anywhere, and so I just grabbed my chef's knife and started hacking at this loaf, and much to everyone around me's distress. Of course, it didn't work. Bread knives are totally essential for bread and for tomatoes because their little serrated edge sort of catches in the skin and makes it much easier to slice. Big ol' chef's knives are essential for chopping just about everything else. If the blade of a knife is not significantly longer than what you're chopping, you're going to have a really hard time. You're going to constantly be moving your knife back and forth and cutting partially in, and it's just a huge hassle. So give yourself a break, pick up a big knife, get over the fear, get comfortable using a big knife. It's probably the best step forward you can make. You'll be really glad you did it. Novice cooking blunder number five is hovering by the stove. This is a real classic waste of time. It's sort of tied in with the flame and the keeping the heat okay. It can take a lot of nerve to turn away from the stove, but you want to train yourself to do it. Turn away, work on something else, but always keep your ears open. You're going to be listening for sizzling sounds and changes in those sounds, and keep your nose open. You might smell something change or, heaven forbid, burn, but you probably won't get to the burning point. Cultivate your hearing, and you won't have to keep an eye on every pot on the stove. Let your ears do the work for you. One of the main things you can listen for, actually, is the difference between sort of wet, steamy sort of simmering when there's some liquid in the pan and a more vigorous sizzle when all the moisture has boiled away. So, if you're, for instance, browning some onions, initially when you put them in, they're going to be really moist and it's going to be sort of a low key hiss and simmer sound. And then, when a lot of that moisture boils away, you're going to hear a little bit of a crackle of the onions cooking directly in the oil on the pan. And that is the point where you want to turn around and stir or add more liquid or whatever the recipe calls for. So, training your ears and your nose will free you up from hovering by the stove. Novice cooking mistake number six is not cleaning as you go. Really get into this mentality because otherwise, chaos totally reigns in your kitchen. As soon as your cutting board gets too cluttered and you have nowhere to cut anything, or as soon as your sink gets full of crap and you can't wash the thing you really need at that instant. So take a break to tidy up and it will help you clear your mind. This whole concept is really sacred in restaurant cooking, and it is actually one piece of discipline that really is key to home cooking as well. You want to keep your space as tidy as possible. It helps with hygiene, of course, but it also keeps you from totally losing your mind. So any downtime you have, and if you're not sure what to do, just wash a dish or two, and in that pause, you're not only making your kitchen more orderly, but you're giving yourself a chance to focus and figure out what needs to be done next. And finally, novice cooking mistake number seven. It seems really insignificant, but a lot of people go too light on the salt. So if something tastes kind of eh, probably just needs a little bit more salt. And in fact, even cakes and cookies are a lot better with a touch of salt. Never ever leave the salt out in a baking recipe. Restaurants are notorious for going way super heavy on the salt. Restaurants have a knack for sort of salting all the way up to the edge of almost oversalted, this point where you're like, wow, what is that sensation? At home, you don't need to salt nearly that much. In fact, it's good not to salt too heavily because otherwise your palate gets really used to it and then suddenly you're putting tons of salt in everything. But don't hesitate to add salt is basically the message here. When chefs talk about seasoning, incidentally, they're really just talking about salt. There's no other magic to that term. Also, you should follow chefs in that you should taste everything you make right before you serve it. Again, totally straightforward, really obvious, but it's also really easy to forget, especially if you're trying to get a bunch of things organized to go on the table all at once. So, taste everything. It will save you from disaster quite a few times. And if you're skeptical about the whole salt thing, try cooking some lentils, for instance. They are the most drab and stereotypically the most boring kind of thing to eat. So if you taste them first without salt and then add a little salt, they perk right up. It's amazing. They go from totally drab to really savory. And also, in our book, In Forking Fantastic, we have a recipe called Wee Salt Boiled Potatoes, which is not much of a recipe, honestly. It was really just teeny tiny red skin potatoes boiled in water that is so salty that the potatoes float, which is a little shocking to do the first time, but trust me, you will never think of potatoes or salt the same way again. Oh, I may have mentioned before, speaking of salt, that I really recommend using Diamond Kosher salt. It's in a black and red box. I use it because it has a really good texture. It has a really good texture, and it doesn't dissolve instantly on your food the way tiny, tiny table salt crystals do. So it's nice because you can sprinkle it on your food and you can see it for a little bit before it dissolves. So it's easier to keep track of exactly how much salt you're adding. I keep little cups of kosher salt next to the stove and next to my cutting board, and then just sprinkle it in by hand. I pretty much never actually measure out an amount of salt. It's a restaurant technique, but again, this is one that's really good. You want to get in the habit of keeping an eye on quite how much salt you throw into things. So that's it. 7 pretty straightforward, easy to correct mistakes. If you focus on even just one or two of these things at a time, you will really massively improve your cooking skills. So check out the Cooking in Real Time website, cookinginrealtime.com, and there I have a link to our Forking Fantastic book, which is out in October, as well as a recommendation for a good, inexpensive chef's knife, if that's one of the things you want to work on. And as usual, as ever, feel free to drop me an email with other cooking questions. I'm at Zora@cookinginrealtime.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.